Hi and welcome to High Five for Hemp. Hello, Adam, my co-host.
Hello, Martin. How are you?
Fine. Long time no see.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a while.
Yeah. So I thought we will do a short and sweet here. It's a live stream and then it will turn into a podcast episode number 11. And about...
Yeah, there's nothing short and sweet about anything I do. I apologize.
No problem. So, but you have, for this date, I want you to guide us into this tradition, you could say. I thought about it 1 year ago and had a solo episode and tried to find some data and information about the expression 420.
You know the history of 420.
A little bit. So if you could, So that's why I thought we will do a live stream and then publish it and have a bit of discussion about this significant day.
Where 420 comes about.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit of an open-ended answer in the sense that there are a few claims as to officially where 420 comes about. When I was younger, 420 was the number that was all of the stock photography back in the 70s and the 80s. It was not digital, right? It was manual. So you would go and actually get film or slides when you would create a catalog. Remember catalogs, yeah. Paper catalogs, yes. With all the pictures. And back in the 70s, the digital alarm clock was like the newest technology, or radio alarm clock. Did you ever have one of those?
Yep.
Well, all of the stock for all of the companies, no matter what, they would always be at 420.
Wow.
And it was kind of like anytime you'd open a catalog, you'd see a clock would be at 420.
Is it because it's like a nice number or that it's...
Yeah, it was just a nice, friendly, even number, I guess, right? So I'm not really sure what the whole reasoning behind that is, but that's what I believe is where it came from. But I found out that was actually argued. That might not be the case. There is also on the West Coast, so that, you know, I grew up in New York. Yep. I live now in California. On the West Coast, I believe either was in Oregon or it was outside of Washington in Olympia. I think it was in Olympia outside of Seattle. It was like a college town right outside of Seattle. There was a group of basically stoners and hippies in a high school that was very popular there. And they would, I forget the name of their group, but they would meet at 420 every day to kind of light up and enjoy themselves. And like 420 also is the police code for a cannabis arrest, a 420.
Oh. Right?
So there's a few different claims as to why 420 is 420, but it's been that way now. It's been adopted for at least 20 years, maybe even longer, like 420 friendly or 420. And now that, excuse me, I'm out of breath here because I just finished my run.
Yeah.
I ran 420 today, 4 miles, 4.20 miles.
About 7 kilometers in the...
Seven kilometers to your lucky number seven. So I'm recovering from that. But so that's kind of where it comes from. Now, here in California, every state is different. You know, the regulation and legalization of either for medical or recreational purposes of cannabis products, and whether it be hemp or it be, you know, cannabis sativa or an indica, one of those, it's up to the state. It's a state law. So it's, you know, state by state, it's very different. So just like countries are turning over in other places, whether it be Europe, whether it be in Indonesia, whether it be in Central America, right now, here in the United States, it's state by state. And California had been in a lead position for a long time, along with states like Colorado. There are some other states, I think Alaska as well, maybe Hawaii, more in the fringe states that had, and Vermont perhaps, that had made it available for medical purposes for quite some time. And it wasn't until about, I think, 10 years ago that rec, maybe a little less, maybe it's 8. I don't have the numbers exactly. I didn't prepare for this show. And everything turned over now to rec. And so it's for recreational purposes, meaning you don't need to have doctor's permission. And products look more like regular products. And in fact, It's a very high-end product. You know, it's like going into a wine shop, a wine bottle shop, not into the corner liquor store to get, you know, some cheap high or something like that. These products are very expensive, very exclusive. And the experience of going into these stores is like going into an Apple store or into a Gucci store. You know, they're very high-end. And they're very regulated. You can see taxing as much as 50%, you know, when it's all added on between the sales tax and the cannabis tax and the state tax and the federal tax. You know, they can advertise a price of $100, but you might be paying $150 just with $50 in add-on taxes. So they have to do other things to get people in because it's very, very expensive. And over time, I think we'll see the prices go down a little bit. But as we're seeing in the hemp economy, but for now it's a day where if you go to a dispensary or to some place that provides these products, there'll be a band, there'll be a taco stand, there'll be specials, there'll be like stickers and coasters and keychains, and you know, it's just basically a celebration of everything that is to do with the cannabis culture, and you can get all kinds of wonderful products. So how was 420 celebrated in your land?
I don't know, because as you know, I don't use marijuana in that way. But if the plant, as we talked, the family, like CBD oil and the industrial hemp that I enjoy, but I'm curious now because Sweden is in European Union, and recently, that's why I want to also to have a talk about that. Recently, Germany had this law put in place that it's okay to do it for recreational purposes, as you said. When I read this article that was some months ago, I think, in BBC, mm-hmm. It said that it's now easier in one way, but it could be harder to get it. And it will not pop up all these cafes that you have in like Amsterdam and so on in very quickly. It will take some time. But still, I read the article through there. It says also that for you could have it to grow plants. I think it was free plants you could grow also. So you could really do it for your own use, so to speak. So it's interesting because Germany is a big, yeah. That's together with France, it's where are the leading pact in European Union in a way. And right now, I think it's Malta and is it Liechtenstein or Luxembourg? It's another country, a third country that also have deregulated this. So in Europe,
deregulated.
Yeah.
What about the Netherlands?
Yeah, they have had it for a long time, but they have this special. I think, as I said, in the coffee houses, so they have maybe some special thing. But you know that they have been liberal for a long, long time. But in Sweden, it's not open in that way. And here, that's why I, in a way, started a show. And then you join and happy to see that perspective. Because here we have this, and that could be for another show, an episode about this THC thing.
What about the THC thing?
That in Sweden had become complicated because it's classified as, how do you say? That you could get high off it, even if it's like this small amount. And they want to classify it as medical or
so
drugs.
It's a controlled substance, yeah. Yeah. Is what you're saying, like a drug.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, which probably is true, such as with caffeine,
yeah.
Cheers, or
wine,
with alcohol, yeah. Or with ibuprofen.
Yeah.
You know, chemicals are around us, and THC is a psychoactive component of all of the wide spectrum of components that cannabis provides, right? So
yeah.
I think the one that's really getting a lot of attention right now is CBD, cannabidiol.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, a good thing for some people. It has great effect. I mean, you have hemp-derived CBD available in Sweden. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Okay. And for us, you know, so for example, when CBD first came out and was available here, just generally, you know, you could buy some creams or lotions. Like, here's one. This is a rapid recovery cooling cream with CBD in it, right?
Yeah.
So this has menthol and it's kind of like a shaving cream,
yeah.
But you can rub it on like a pulled muscle and it's really chili, but it has the CBD in there because there's a belief. And it also, this is THC free. So that's what it says.
Yeah.
This one is a roll on that I have, CBD plus. So you can like roll it onto your skin, almost like a deodorant. Like,
yeah.
Right. But it's not a deodorizer. It's just a way, extra strength formula, full hemp extract. And these are all extracted from hemp. Right. So you can just apply it to a wound or, yeah. But it has a, you'll see here, it's a roller ball.
Right? Yeah, and now is for the listeners later on, Adam is showing a deo roll here.
Oh, if you're listening. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you got to watch the video. Yeah. Right. So,
and I show him because that was the right. Previous. Continue.
Yeah. But these products, when they came out, there'd be like $20, $30, even up to $50 for a bottle. Mm-hmm. Just like very expensive face cream can go into the hundreds of dollars. But over time, right, as these products flooded the market and there wasn't a great demand for people to pay, the prices came down. So you can notice here, like in a product like this, it's the detail is really nice. It's got the roller ball. It's a very sophisticated bottle. And then over time, price came down to more like $8. And what I'm holding up is just hemp balm, which has CBD in it, 125 milligrams of CBD. So it's just like moisturizer cream, but it looks basically like in a toothpaste tube. Mm. And by reducing the marketing, and you see here, it's one color, right? There's not really fancy advertising or it's just plain, almost generic in a sense, but it's the same. It's the same effect, right? It's a good cream. If you have itchy skin or reactive skin, you put this on and the CBD will help neutralize and minimize some of the nervous reaction, or that's what there is a belief for, right? But the price came down. And then right now we're having this genocide going on in the United States on dollar stores because of inflation. Mm-hmm. So everywhere across the United States and even in other places in the world, they have these discount chains where they sell very low cost, mostly Chinese or plastic, some Indian and Indonesian products, but very low end products, very small amounts. And they call these dollar stores because everything cost a dollar. Nothing costs a dollar anymore. Mm. And in fact, our 99-cent store, which was one penny lower than the dollar, just went out of business because they couldn't compete. With a name like 99-cent store, they had to raise the price to $5. And now I know in Dollar General, the ceiling price is now like $7 on some products, right? So the 99-cent store is going out of business because it can't compete because of inflation. The model doesn't work. So now it's the $2 store or whatever. But just to get back to it, so my wife went in because our local 99-cent store is closing and they're liquidating their inventory. And it's a lot of like, wow, you can buy something for 75 cents instead of cents. But once it's gone, it's gone. She walks in and finds this level 3 CBD cooling sports cream. It's like mentholated and minty. So you put it on a sore knee or an ankle if you're a runner, or an arm if you're lifting. It's like, I'm sure you have these icy hot creams.
Balm,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, balm. That's what this is. 99 cents.
Wow.
And on sale, it was like 75 cents. So like, it just goes to show you, we can go from one product with, this is an older product from like 10 years ago with the rollerball, $30, same product, 99 cents, right? So, it's a weird economy right now. And because it's been deregulated, right? There's less of a demand because it's available everywhere. And so they had to lower the price. And I think we're going to see the same thing with products that contain THC as well. Because you may not know this, but because you're in Sweden, you don't have exposure to this, but they started finding ways to extract THC components out of hemp. Because hemp does have a small amount of THC, and hemp grows much easier because it's like a weed. It can grow anywhere. So they just grow more product, right? And they can extract this new hemp component that's called Delta 8. So the traditional marijuana component is Delta 9 THC. They can extract its cousin or its sister, Delta 8 THC, which is a lighter version of THC. It's a more euphoric, lightweight high, less anxiety. People are really enjoying it. It's very much similar and the same, but it wears off quite more quicker. It doesn't phase you out. And so now we have hemp-derived THC that's completely legal because it is not Delta 9. It's a different component. So we have products that are coming out like these gummies, a company called Dadgrass here. You like this? Mm-hmm. And this is their marketing is like the weed your dad used to smoke that didn't knock you on your ass, Dadgrass, right? And these are gummies and these are wonderful. And only 2 milligrams of Delta 8 THC in here. So it just gives you just a little sparkle, but not like you can function. And they take off the edge and the anxiety, right? And so as you've talked about the different components of CBD, there's also CBDN and CBG and all of these other components, right? They created Dadgrass as more of a cigarette, right? And I don't really smoke because I'm a runner, but I have these, right? So they come in a pack just like this. I tried once before. And again, there's no psychoactive properties in here, just a little bit of THC, Delta 8 THC, which is very light, right? So you feel a little something, you know, it's not, you feel more when you eat a hot pepper. And I know you like hot food, like more of a psychoactive response, right? Like it's not really that, but you feel a little something. Or like cloves, like when you get cloves, like you feel a little, or strong tea, right? And then, of course, because there's Dadgrass, there's also a Momgrass now. You see, and the yellow. So there's Dadgrass and Momgrass. And Momgrass is a little bit different, right? So it has CBG in it, which is known to help heal the body and soothe the soul. So to like, so a mom who's having more anxiety, right, would use this. It's very smooth, much smoother. This is a little more like the flavor of it is a little stronger. Like if you smoke it, right? These are smoking products. I don't really smoke. So these are pretty much, I bought these just, you know, to have as like, hey, try this out, right? It's cool, right? It's all kind of cool. But I would say if I was going to be taking CBD in a smoke form, I would do it this way, which is I have this company called Dom makes these really high-tech, wonderful pens. They're like vape pens, very small, and it has a measured dose. So every, like when you smoke it, you're not sure. And also the burnt leaf and all of that carbon in your lungs. This is just a vape, very tiny. It's the size of a pen. And there are no psychoactive properties here. It's derived from hemp, right? And it has 18 CBD to 1 THC. And it has a chamomile oil in it too. So it's calming, right? And it's just like a little vape pen. And you just take a little hit off of this and you can get your CBD. But this is tested, compliant, regulated. This is why I like the idea of governments getting involved because you know, and it's measured, no surprises. There are a lot of weird components when you get something that's homegrown. Well, it's fresher, but there's also fungus that can grow and other additives and chemicals to make it strong. Who knows what you're getting? Whereas when it's regulated, yes, you're going to have to pay a tax and some excise, but you're more guaranteed a controlled experience and not having a surprise where you can't function, right? That you can't. Because for many people, these are very therapeutic means. I mean, for me, I don't have to take anti-anxiety medications or anything else. You know, I just use these products every once in a while. And I don't drink very much. You know, I'll have maybe a beer a week just to enjoy it and taste it. But I'm not grabbing for alcohol as a tool. Like, oh, I need a drink. And again, I am very lightweight. I'll have one gummy or maybe not. I probably am more of addicted to caffeine and maybe other supplements like ashwagandha or magnesium, you know, like other things that I take for longevity, right? You know, for fitness rather than these things. Capsaicin, which is, you know, basically hot.
Yeah.
So what do you think about all this? What do you think about the products that you're using? I've talked way too much.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So previous episode, I talked about this like a lip balm.
Do you find that works better than normal lip balm?
Yeah, it's of course, in other ingredients also, but it is something with the hemp that is smoother, refreshing, and also good for so you don't get dry lips or something that you have some blemish or something like that. It's getting away. It's getting rid of it.
Interesting.
I really like it. So that's one product. And then, of course, I've tested snuff that you have. You could have, it's called like snus in Swedish. And like,
does that have a little tobacco?
Yeah, but it's no tobacco at all. It's only like hemp, industrial hemp. But you put it under your lip or in your mouth then. So
I know some people who snort snuff through their.
Yeah, that's this. Yeah, that's the old way of doing it. They did it back in the day.
I can't imagine. Yeah, so painful.
But it's more that you get this reaction and you get starting to sneeze and so on. But yeah, so. Yeah,
but so you put a pinch between your lip and gum, and you just
yeah.
And you spit. Do you spit?
No, this is in also in around the paper. So you get this nice, yeah, it is some soothing and also some balancing. And that we will also talk for, we have talked about it in other episodes, but what is this endocannabinoid system is doing? And when you use this hemp oil or product, what that could do for your body. So it's interesting how you could take it in different ways. So I've had capsules also that I like, and also then now I'm starting. So that's why I want to have on the show also that I've known for a long time that started the hemp company. But I have other products also, and I recently got some samples from them. So I wanted to test that and see how that's working. But yeah, I've tested some different ones, and then here for fun, and this now showing for the. So this, I don't know if you will see that. Yeah. It's like mm-hmm. a soap. So I'm showing a soap, and it's the symbol with the plant.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. So you said that in Germany now, people can grow their own plants, up to 3 plants.
Yeah.
I think here we can grow up to 6. And I'm not sure if that's changed, if it's more. But I have grown plants before, and I can tell you that be prepared. If you grow them,
yeah,
because man, they stink.
Yeah,
they really stink. In fact, look at this. You see this here? Look at
yeah.
this. If you're watching the video, see that there?
Yeah,
that is. I grew that.
Yeah,
yeah. That's my own.
Like a flower, or
like a flower. Yeah, yeah, like a bud. So this is what you would crumble up, and now this is. Oh man, it still smells good. I keep it in an airtight jar. This was several years ago that I did this, and I wouldn't smoke these because they're so lovely, right? These
yeah.
little teeny buds, and they look like just like I'm so proud of these. I've got, you know, and I did try it, but like again, I'm an athlete, so I don't like to have smoke in my lungs because I need to breathe. So for me, it's more like the gummies and the tinctures and like the little, you know, bottles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This product here is from Pura Vida Botanicals. It's a cinnamon CBD oil.
Yeah.
This is really good. This is from a company in Vermont, Pura yeah. Vida.
Yeah.
My good friend, JT, has this company. He also owns a coffee farm in Costa Rica, mm-hmm. and he is producing CBD coffee, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And his coffee is organically grown. It's on his land, and he also produces this beautiful cinnamon, because the cinnamon also has an effect as well. This is really good stuff, and this is what I'll take also, just a little drop of this, right? So, and it's just CBD. It's all derived from hemp. There might be a trace amount of THC, but, you know, so small, it doesn't really have any psychoactive property. But that's all good. I don't know, though, you know, with CBD, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell when you take it because it doesn't have a general effect right away.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything, or is it just a placebo? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Science is out. I know they say yes, and it activates the endocannabinoid system, perhaps. Mm. I have no way of knowing when that's turning on or turning off, because I've been using these products for, you know, 45 years.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So you get used to it. So that could be, as I said, that I have been in contact with an author that wrote a book originally in Swedish called CBD and Hampa in Swedish, or hemp in English. What's that? And she has translated that into English. and it's like a introduction to CBD and hemp. And I got a good met her at the health fair here in Gothenburg. So it'd be nice to get her on the show and talk about these things and what she have learned and what she have studied and how she have compiled it. So yeah, and we could have a discussion there also with products and other things and that you showed there. So I think that's interesting, and we will follow the news. I know how good you are at finding interesting articles, like we have talked about, like hemp in fashion, hemp in building materials, and also we talked about the pricing and all the range of products and all this good stuff. So we can see what we could do in the near future here, Adam. So
yeah, now they have a new thing. It's called generative hemp.
Okay, and what's that?
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Like generative AI. Generative hemp.
Yeah.
It's just the AI version of...
Yeah.
Artificial hemp. I don't know. I'm just trying to make it into a joke. Everything is gen AI these days.
And that what you said about, regulation, I'm for this, as I say, a free market. But I understand where you're coming from, and I wonder what could happen then now in Germany, and how that will be in other countries around in Europe, and how that will reflect.
Free market economy is a nice idea.
Yeah, right? It is,
but it's an idea. The reality is that in places where cannabis products are available, including hemp products, without regulation, as in it's criminal, decriminalization is the right way to put it. There's very high regulation, right? And the reason why they're decriminalizing it is, one, they're not seeing it as a threat. There's much bigger threats. In fact, I would say that internet addiction, social media addiction, is way more dangerous, right? And so, something like being addicted to cannabis will just chill you out, so you won't grab for the terrible effect of social media, right? Yeah. And that dopamine is a far more dangerous drug than THC. It chills you out, so you're not so addicted to that next hit of enzyme in your brain, right? To tickle your thalamus or tickle your pineal gland.
Yeah, that's
the driving all the
dopamine.
The
kicks.
Dopamine.
Yeah,
the little hits. But the reality is that they see this as a huge money play. There's so much money involved because it's something that is not available. So people want to try it. They want to get their hands on it. And governments can wrap their arms around it. One, for the safety of the citizens, which makes a lot of sense, but huge money.
Yeah.
Huge money. You know, our town, it's one of the few towns in San Diego County that welcomed, and we have, I think, 6 or 7 dispensaries in our little town in San Diego County. It's not the San Diego city proper. It's the outside region. And also in the city of San Diego, they've welcomed it. And we have a lot nicer roads than all of the surrounding towns because there's so much more money in the system. And understand that California is a highly regulated state, right? We pay a lot of taxes.
Yeah.
Everything is taxes, but what you get for all those taxes are beautiful parks, beautiful roads, beautiful systems, really good hospitals, really good services. You might have to wait, right? But you live in Sweden, so you know about that. You pay very high taxes for everything, but you have really good services. You get healthcare.
So and so,
you get support.
Depending how you look at it. But it's interesting you said about this criminal aspect of that. And that I think that nobody have dared to talk about in politics except one party called an alliance, that's a non-socialist alliance, and like bourgeoisie. Well, how do you say that in French? The middle class?
Bourgeois?
Yeah. So if you take that in Swedish, you get that name. Because here in Sweden, lots of the gangs are controlling regarding the marijuana and other things like that. So if it will be opened and you could get it like at a pharmacy or whatnot, then it could be positive things about this. So, but you have to talk about that in order, because here it's getting, problematic, to say it at least.
Well, that's why you need the regulation, because when the government takes control and turns it into a retail engine, it's a whole different equation. And really, to be honest, the real business that gangs should be in is banks. They should just take, because that's what they want, is the money.
Yeah.
They should just have a gang credit card.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, they already are, yeah. You know, in a way, you know, I could tell you that from firsthand experience. If you know what my last name is and you look at my history,
yeah,
and the history of the Tinkoff name. So, but the real gang are the banks. And so, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yes, it is.
You have another podcast to talk about that.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I'm very neutral, yeah, when it comes down to it, you know, but you know, I just know this stuff because I've been exposed to it over the many years, and I'm a big supporter of it. That's all. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's cool. So, what are you looking at with this show and the development of the show?
Yeah, it's great to see you again, Adam. So we'll see how we could fit our schedules and see on how regular it could be and what topic. But I liked what we have done so far and what it could be. And it was interesting that you showed all the products that you have used. And I have some. One, this is in Swedish, but he could probably talk in English also. So we never give up. And it's the so-called war on drugs. And his name is Johan Wiklén. And that had been, he'd been, of course, asked for to talk about when things happening now in Europe, like in Germany and so on. Because here, as I said, in Sweden have been very complicated situation to dare to talk about marijuana and about legalization and if we should be more, similar to other countries in Europe and so on.
Here, there's a correlation between the funding and attention on the war on drugs,
yeah,
and the rise in criminal activity.
Yeah. That
there is more violence and just detriment and evil things that happen. The more we fight, the more there is. So the less we make it an evil, the less problem there is. And it really does just kind of dissolve into society as something that's really not that impactful.
Yeah.
As I said, social media is far more damaging for most people and their children, right? I would be more concerned with the amount of time you're spending in front of a screen, looking into black rectangles, shiny black rectangles.
Or watching us live or
yeah, or dead, you know, if they have Wi-Fi in the afterlife, in the Bardo.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
All right. So I would say, if you ask me, my advice would be to get outside and unplug a little while to balance with everything else that's happening in various places of the world. We all share one big sky. It's, you know, a big ball that we're on. And even if we're on a flat earth, it's a big dome we're under. Yeah. It's all one dome, whatever you want to call it. It's all connected in some way or another. And all of this stuff comes from the outside, from the ground, from the soil.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm more concerned with protecting our soil than with protecting our regulation.
Yeah. And that's
without our soil, the world is nothing.
Yeah. And that could be like an end note. I learned that from when I listened to a webinar that I learned from Hanna Hell, and that's her name, Hell in Swedish. So, we saw about CBD and hemp, what's that, the book. And there we talked about the history in Sweden, that back in the day you had industrial hemp plants in the farming and in landscape, and it did lots of good things for the soil.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Right. And so in the history of the U.S., when they built the big mega highways, mm-hmm, to connect both sides, and you know, this was in the 20s and the 30s, maybe the 40s, they started, you know, this is before World War II, but then after, as we were trying to get out of the Depression, the government put a lot of investment into the infrastructure. And to keep the ditches down on both sides of the road, they would just put industrial hemp down there, and it would keep the roads, the ditches down. And what's amazing, they also, when doing that, they realized that hemp crops work really well to regenerate a field. So if you grow soy and corn and feed, and over again, eventually you will just deplete the soil of nutrients. So if you throw in a cycle of hemp, And you can use hemp. It's a super strong fiber. You can create really strong fabrics out of it and other materials, as we've talked before. You just you chop the crop and then you till it into the soil. It regenerates the soil. So regenerative farming is this idea of leaving the cut, whatever you cut out of the land, in rather than scooping it up. And it protects the soil. Without the soil, this civilization will die, right? The soil is probably the most important thing that we need to keep the food going. Without food, we die. It's really important. And crops like hemp are key to keep our soil alive. We come from the earth and we depart and we're sprinkled on the earth, right? So we need to protect our soil. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Yes. It is. So thanks again, Adam. Nice to see you again. And thanks for doing this live streaming. And then it will end up as an episode number 11 of High Five for Hemp.
11?
Yeah.
So you're doing one episode a year?
Yeah,
11 years, is something like that.
Yeah.
I'll see you next April.
Thanks for that. Take care.
You bet. Bye.
Bye.